Amen. Amen implies surrender so that I truly be encountered and in that encounter be born again. I surrender. That amen is meant to be very deliberate and very focused, come deeply from the heart. And then as we read in the rest of this chapter, which we will not, of course, not be able to finish. You'll get to finish it yourself. Oops. Jesus will proceed to reveal to Nicodemus further who he is and how he introduces humanity into the divine life. And all the more through that, how surrender is key. How surrender is key. Jesus is the one who descended from heaven, the Word made flesh. And insofar as he is the Word made flesh, he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man, as Jesus here predicts, and he appeals to something that occurred in the Old Covenant, must be lifted up. So that divine life will be fully communicated thanks to the mystery of the cross. When Jesus pours forth everything, when he opens, you know, the tearing of the veil, the temple curtain, Jesus opening completely the mystery of God, so that everyone who believes, everyone who welcomes, everyone who surrenders, amen, may have eternal life, may participate in that life. But we just said, I participate when I surrender. I'm welcomed into God's life when I let go. It's God's doing, so I need to let go. And then he draws me into that life. And in verse 16, as we read, why the Word became flesh? Love. For God so loved the world. The most bumper-stickered verse there is from the Scriptures. For God so loved the world that he sent, that he gave gift. Not just mission, sent, but gift, gave his only Son. This Son, whom as we read in verse 19, is the light that has come into the world. So this light that we read in the prologue, here we have it again, the light comes into the world. What did we read in the prologue? The darkness has not overcome it. Nothing and no one will stop Jesus, the light of the world. Here, the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. The presence of Jesus unveils everything. And the second coming is not going to be Jesus coming in a really bad mood to do a major spring cleaning. It's Jesus who, by virtue of his presence, will unveil all things and invite all those who would like to enter definitively into the bliss of God's life. Whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. You may want to continue to read this yourself a little bit, ponder it, ask Nicodemus for a little helping hand. And next week, we will, not next week, in 2 weeks. Okay, next week, as I said, we will not meet. Next Thursday begins the Women's Acts Retreat. You may want to keep them in your prayer. We have 39 of our female parishioners who will be going away for this crazy retreat we call the Acts Retreat. Keep them in your prayer. So in 2 weeks, we will meet again, and we will meet at our usual place in the social hall, at which time we will explore the next encounter, a really great encounter, between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, that great woman with that great bucket at the well, who has one up on Jesus because she has a bucket and he doesn't. It's true. She lets him know. Sir, you don't have a bucket. Where do you plan to get the water? In chapter 4. So, see you same time, different place in 2 weeks. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time spent together as brothers and sisters. Joyous to be in your presence, thankful for the many ways in which you touch us, many of which we know not. Help us always to be grateful, to be open to you, and give us the grace to surrender to you, even though we may at times be afraid, be indifferent, be tired, be preoccupied. Break through all that and give us the grace to let go and let you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you.